Good morning. We welcome you to service for Barbers Grove Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us, whether you're listening by radio out in the parking lot, or perhaps some of you that live very close might could even hear from your home, or whether you're on the website. We're so glad that you're listening. We just praise the Lord that we can, through technology, we can share. It seems strange preaching in an empty building, but the same Holy Spirit is here in the church building with us, as in your car, or as in your home, or wherever you might be listening. You know, the kids are back doing long-distance learning, and we're back to long-distance church. We didn't plan it that way, but for the safety of all of the folks that are involved, we feel like we must for a few weeks not have our indoor service. But the Lord's going to be with us. He's going to speak to us. And I thank you for listening each week. We're going to meet back together as soon as we possibly can. But let me encourage you. If you have family, friends that don't go to church anywhere, challenge them to listen in. They may be ashamed, or for some other reason not be willing to come in a church building, but you might be surprised who'd be willing to listen on the website, or who might be listening, willing to listen on their radio. And so we just encourage you, as faithful members of Barbers Grove, to call and invite others to come and be a part of these services. Let me also encourage you to treat it as a real service. I know I'm guilty. I've tried to listen to preaching and cook at the same time, and I've tried to listen to preaching and watch the ball game at the same time, but sooner or later I've forgotten. I'm not listening to what the preacher's saying. So I encourage you to get to a quiet place, get your Bible, your notebook. Whenever they're singing, sing along with the music if you can. And when we pray, pray with us. And allow the Holy Spirit to use this as a quiet time to minister to your hearts. Again, we welcome you, and we're so glad that you've joined us, and so glad that the Holy Spirit has joined us. Father, as we bow before you today, we know it's unusual, but this is unusual days and unusual times. And Father, we thank you for technology that allows us to share the gospel, share the word of God with people in many, many areas. And so, Father, even as we gather here today, just a few of us to do this taping service, thank you for that you're here. Thank you that you're sitting in cars with individuals. Thank you that you're in their homes or wherever they might be listening through the website. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from Ed Louder, but we want to hear from you. And so we ask that we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and a will to obey as you speak. For those that are hurting today, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them. We know that we have some that are sick, and Leonard will be mentioning those in a moment. Father, I just lift them up to you today. Your special touch, your special comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning to you. And we welcome you also now to our webcast and also to our 99.1 radio FM on your dial. All right, this morning, as traditionally, we're going to recognize our birthdays for the month of January. And our birthdays are as follows: Aaron Hartzell, January the 5th, and Jackson Keplinger, January the 13th. And our anniversaries this month will be Mike and Vivian Austin. I'm going to sing Happy Birthday. Sing along with me to these ones, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more, right? All right, this morning and in this place, we would normally do a hymn sing. We won't be doing a hymn sing this morning because I have elected to not include live music in these webcast and radio services. It's for that, for because of the fact we want to involve as fewer people as we can to make sure that people are safe. So we're going to rely on recorded music for our music. We're going to rely on our good friends, the Singing Towers, as we start off this series of services. As the Pastor Ed has already said, we don't know how long these services will continue. It's pretty much as a virus as it goes, so will we. So we'll make sure that we monitor it each and every week. But this morning, I want to thank our good friends, the Singing Towers, and we're going to ask them to sing a good old convention song for us now, When God's Chariot Comes, the Singing Towers.
God's old chariot coming in the morning, oh, that wonderful day. Grand old chariot come without a warning, take his people away. I'll be standing there at the station waiting for, I'm going home, I'll roll away. When God's chariot comes,
I'll roll away.
When God's chariot comes,
guys. That was good singing. While we're thanking people, I feel like I need, as a matter of fact, I know I need to thank the soloists and Brenda. I want to thank Brenda, and I want to thank Tonda and also Kathy High for their support. And most of last year, they were here every service that we needed them to be, to have special music for you. And I thank you for their support and their effort. They were a great member of the team, and without them, it would not have been as effective as it was, and we thank you for that. I also have a thank you that I want to share with you all today, and it says, thank you for your thoughtfulness. Thank you so much for remembering us with the senior gift bags, and thank you all for your prayers. Your kindness has been greatly appreciated. We love all of you, and we keep you in our prayers. Charles and Jewel Hatley. All right. Now, I have some announcements for you this morning that I want to share with you. our Lottie Moon offering finished the last month, in the month of December, and we totaled for $2,360. I think that was a beautiful, beautiful offering for Lottie Moon. And as our pastor has already reminded us, that's a far-reaching offering. It goes worldwide, and somebody might know Jesus because of our dollars that we contributed. So thank you, Barbis Grove. We've already, our pastor's already shared with you about our service and how we're going to arrange our services for the coming weeks. And we don't know how long we'll be able to do. We should be doing it, but for right now, there will be no inside sanctuary services, nor will there be a Wednesday night Bible study. All of that has been discontinued. But we will, with God's help, provide you with a way to worship and to listen to our services and the parking lot with the 99.1 FM, and also then through the webcast. So we look forward to being able to be here, and God will bless us to be able to share with you each and every Sunday. And that's all the announcements I have at this point. I want to share with you some prayer requests that we have. There's definitely some needs that we need to remember. Let's remember Vivian Austin. Vivian fell and injured some of her surgery on her hip. But Vivian is back at home now, I understand, and she's doing much better, but she still needs our prayers. So let's continue to pray for her. Remember the Don Whitley family as they continue to mourn the loss of their loved one, Don. Pat Burgess still is in rehab at in a nursing home. Let's remember Pat. Remember Terrell Smith. He has the COVID virus plus a heart attack, so he is not doing well, but let's remember him. I say not doing well. He's doing as well as could be expected, but pray for Terrell. Also, let's pray for Charles and Jewel Hatley. They're not feeling well, and I talked with them last night, and so they've asked us to remember them in prayer. Let's lift them up. Ricky and Shirley Edwards, let's pray for that family, an entire family. Ricky and Shirley have been diagnosed positive with the coronavirus, but I will say and just give you an update that talk to them, and they're not experiencing any high temperatures or severe coughing. And so Ricky says they're doing fair, and that's good. That's a good thing. So let's lift them up, continue to pray for them. Remember to pray. Continue to pray for Jay Julius. He's still having pain issues, and as he goes through from his back situation. Talk with Tony also. Tony Eford, he's continued to have back issues and pain. Let's pray for him. We'll give you an update on Zach Snyder. You know, Zach was he had the coronavirus, but Zach is doing much, much better. But he is still weak and still needs our prayers. So let's keep him in our mind and also in our prayers. Let's remember our nation. This is a worldwide war we're in this coronavirus. So let's pray for our nation, pray for our state, pray for our leadership as we go forward. Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us now to assemble here. And Lord, we thank you for our Pastor Ed. We thank you, Lord, for Wes as he's on top running the sound and being a great technician he is to make this thing happen each and every time. But Lord, we won't remember those, Lord, who are hurting today. As we thank you for an opportunity, we thank you for our health. And Lord, we thank you for our good health. But then there are those, Lord, that we need to mention specifically that are need you. We pray for Vivian Austin this morning, Lord, as she is recovering from surgery. And she's at home, but Lord, she's weak and she needs your strength. We pray for her this morning. We also keep remembering, we'll remember Don Whitley family as the family is still mourning the loss of Don. We pray for them. We ask for strength and for courage and for understanding for Pat Burgess as she is in the nursing home and rehab and to be able to walk again. We pray for her. Lord, we ask for healing for her body. We lift up Terrell Smith to you as well, Lord, as Terrell is having a hard time with corona plus heart condition. Pray for Charles and Jewel Hatley. As they're not doing well, we pray for them. And then, Lord, as we remember Ricky and Shirley this morning and the entire family. We thank you, Lord, that they are not experiencing severe problems from the virus. But, Lord, we ask that you would give them healing. Remember Jay Julius and the pain issues, as well as Tony Eford as he battles pain. We thank you for Zach Snyder doing better today. We ask you continue to bless him and bless the family. Lord, we don't want to forget our nation. We pray for our nation as we're all battling the same ugly disease. But Lord, you're in control. We know you are all knowing, all seeing, all understanding. And you love us, Lord, and we pray for your touch. Now, Lord, we ask a blessing upon this service today as we go forward. We pray for Pastor Ed as he comes before us. We pray, Lord, now, Lord, that you would, the blessings that we have today, we all owe to you. And help us, Lord, to be able to get the word out that somebody that does not know you as their personal Savior would come to know you today. And Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right, we're now going to continue with the Singing Towers, and the Singing Towers are going to sing a song that is a song that talks about, oh, what a Savior that we have, and indeed, we do have a wonderful, loving Savior. Oh, what a Savior.
Yes, Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. We didn't deserve His salvation, but He came to die for us anyway. He spoke to our hearts. He drawed us to Him. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. And I pray that you know Him as your Lord and your Savior. And if you don't, that before today is over, you bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's risen from the dead, and that you claim Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, as I said earlier, I encourage you to get your Bible and your notebook and pen and make a few notes, because I'm going to refer to a number of scriptures. I'm not going to turn and read them all, but I'm going to refer to some because I think that this is maybe a good way to start the year, to think about our commitment to the Lord and how solid that commitment is, how sold out we are to the Lord for Him to use us. Now, recently, the Holy Spirit reminded me of two sermons that I preached probably 50 years ago. One of them was People with the Don't Have, Can't Do Disease. And the other one was What is in Your Hand? Now, I didn't pull out those old notes and bring them along this morning to preach them, but I do want to think along those lines. I want us to consider, again, as I said, how committed we are to the Lord. Who are people and who are churches that have that don't have, can't do disease? What is it? It's an attitude that says the Lord can't use me or the Lord can't use us because of what we don't have or because of what we can do. And the Bible is just full of examples. For example, in Exodus 3 and 4, you have the story of Moses. Now, Moses was out there in the desert doing what he did every day, keeping the sheep of his father-in-law. And suddenly he sees a burning bush. And he looks over there, and that bush should have been burned, and it just kept flaming. And so he goes over there to find out what's going on, and he encounters the Lord. The Lord says, first, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, because I'm present. And then he gives Moses the astonishing information and call, I want you to go down to Egypt and lead out those people of mine and take them to the promised land. And at that time, you can begin to see how Moses had that don't have, can't do disease. What did he say in verse 11? Who am I that I should go down unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, Lord, why me? Why did you choose me? In verse 13, he says, who am I going to say sent me? I mean, Lord, if you're going to, I've got to have some credentials. And then in verse, let's see here right quick. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know, old Moses had every excuse in the book as to why he couldn't go and do what God asked him to do. He said, I can't do it. I can't speak. I'm not the right person. Don't choose me. He had a real severe case of the don't have, can't do disease. Well, in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, you read how Israel had that disease. Lord, we can't go into that promised land and take that promised land. You notice, Lord, there's some giants over there, and there's some walled cities over there, and there's some well-trained armies over there. We can't do it, Lord. I mean, we're just bricklayers, brick makers. We're not equipped to take that land. In Judges 6, we read how Gideon had that disease. The angel appears to Gideon and says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "Are you kidding me? Who are you talking to?" He said, "God wants you to lead the children of Israel out of bondage to the Midianites. Oh, by the way, they've got an army of 110,000 men. And Gideon says, "Not me. I'm the runt of the litter in my family. My family is the least known of the clan. And my clan is the least of all the Benjamites." So in other words, I am at the end of the line. You shouldn't be choosing me. Gideon had that case. You know, Queen Esther had it. Haman comes with the project to kill all of the Jews. And they come to Esther and they say, "Please go into your husband, the king, and plead our cause." And Esther says, "Now wait a minute. I can't do that. If I do that without his asking me to come in there, they'll put me to death. I can't do it. It's too dangerous." And then let's look at one in, if you want to turn to the Gospel of John, we'll look at one in the New Testament. John chapter 6. And you'll see that Philip had that same don't have, can't do disease. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee into the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him, but they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he was doing to do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." And in another account, I believe it's in Mark, of that same story, it talks about how it was sort of a desert place. And I'm sure Philip looked around. He said, "I don't see a Food Line. I don't see an Ingles. I don't see a Harris Teeter. I don't see a Walmart. I don't see any restaurants. It'd take a half a year's salary to feed this crowd, to even give them a couple of bites. Lord, what are you talking about?" And then in the other account, it says, "Why don't you send them away and maybe they can go somewhere into some of the nearby villages and get enough food." That don't have, can't do disease is just seen in many places. And we see it today. Maybe you've had it. You were asked to teach class. You were asked to minister in some way, and you said, "I can't teach. I'm not educated. I'm not well-versed. I don't have any extra money. I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't do this, I can't do the other." And sometimes churches have it. "Well, you know, our problem is we're in a bad community. We're in an isolated community. We're in a rural community. Not many people live around here." We just can't reach people for Jesus because of the opportunities that we don't have. Now, if we were in a big city where they just built a suburb with 5,000 houses, we could do something. But out where we are, we can't do much. While I was thinking about this, it suddenly hit me to ask you a question. You ever been to Shatley Springs? You can't get there from here. Where is it? Way out in the boondocks in the mountains. I'd have to get a GPS if I were going to try to go. It's not on an interstate. It's out in the middle of nowhere. I think about how it was here in Stanley County 50 years ago. All the fish houses. Where were they? Out in the middle of nowhere, all over the county. And some of them that are still in existence are the same way now. It's not a matter. I know in real estate they say location, 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 but it's not always a matter of location. I've never been to Shatley Springs when the parking lot wasn't full, and back in the years gone by, on Friday and Saturday nights, sometimes you had to wait for a table at some of those fish houses. It didn't matter the location. It mattered the product. It mattered about the friendliness. My wife and I used to go up to Harwood's Fish House, and how many times I sat and talked with Mr. Harwood about various things. Friendly, welcoming, and good food and a welcome atmosphere made all the difference. You know, sometimes the church says, well, we can't reach people. Our building's not adequate. Now, let me say, we need to have the best building we can possibly have. We need to do everything we can to make our building accessible and welcoming and warm and inviting. But again, the building is not the issue. You think about Shatley Springs again. What a ramshackle collection of buildings that have been joined together. You think about those old fish houses, block buildings, concrete floor, wooden chairs. I don't remember a single person complaining. Well, this is a wooden chair. I want a padded chair. All they cared about was bringing the fish on. You see, we even proved here this summer, you can have church without a building. Big old oak tree out there and some folding lawn chairs. We had church all summer. The early church had no building. It says they met from house to house. You see, the don't have, can't do disease is an attitude that says there are things we can't do because. And if the devil can give us an excuse and we voice that excuse and live on that excuse, we can very easily miss out on the Word of God and the work of God. Now, notice, God never asked for what these people didn't have. God asked for what they did have. If you go back to that story of Exodus, when Moses is giving all those excuses, in Exodus 4, verse 2, the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. and it became a rod in his hand. And that rod became a sign and a powerful tool in Moses' hand. He stretched it out and the Red Sea departed. He held it up and the army was victorious. He struck a rock and water poured forth. You see, that rod was just an ordinary shepherd's stick. And yet, that was what Moses had in his hand. That's what Moses had available. And when Moses obeyed and surrendered that rod to the Lord, that rod became a powerful tool. And the Bible again is full of those type of illustrations. You remember old Samson? He's confronted with the Philistines. He reaches over there and he grabs the jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000. You remember another one of those judges of Israel that you probably don't remember his name until I mention it? Shamgar? It says he took an ox goad, in other words, a sharpened stick that you'd prod your oxen with, and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. That's what he had in his hand. That's what Samson had in his hand. You think about David. He's facing a Goliath. Sherman tank would have been great. A bazooka would have been all right. But David didn't have a Sherman tank. And he didn't have a bazooka. He didn't have some long distance artillery. David had a sling and a rock. And with that sling and that rock, David took out the giant. You think about a little widow lady in 1 Kings. What has she got? Enough oil and meal, flour, to make one last supper for herself and her son, and then they're going to eat it and die. But she had that in her hand and she surrendered it to the Lord, and she and her son and the prophet lived off of that for months. That was what was in her hand. Do you remember another widow in 2 Kings who was the widow of a prophet? And she comes to Elisha and she says, "My husband, the prophet, is dead. And the creditors are coming to take my sons and make slaves out of them." And the prophet says to her, "What have you got?" "Well, I don't have anything." "What have you got?" "Well, the only thing I've got in the house is a little bit of oil." He says, "Well, go out and borrow all the vessels you can borrow and get all the empty vessels that you can collect in your own house and you start pouring." And she collected them. She closed the door and went to pouring, and she poured out of that little oil jug that she had, and she filled up vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel. Until finally, she just ran out of empty jars to put it in. And she goes back to the prophet and says, "What now?" He says, "Sell it, pay off your debts, rescue your sons, and then you should have enough to live off of the rest of your life." What's in her hand? Just a little bit of oil. And then that story back over there in John chapter 6, and verse 8 and 9. "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, 'There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among so many?' And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Now, that's just the men, so if you add women and children, there may as many may have been as many as 20 or 30,000 people. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks and distributed to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. They ate until they were stuffed full, and they had 12 basketfuls left over. Now you think about it. Everything that I've just mentioned was not some kind of exotic thing. It was just an ordinary thing. A rod, a sling and a stone, oil and meal, an ox goad, a little boy's meal. And yet, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of these became extraordinary. Every one of these became useful. These folks had the attitude, and you know, it's great that somebody like Moses can learn and be different. These folks had the attitude, what's in my hand, I'm putting in the Lord's hand, and I'm going to watch what the Lord can do with it. Now, I ask you that are listening to me today, what's in your personal hand that the Lord wants to use? Some ability that you have? Some training that you have? Finances that you have? Connections that you have? Spiritual gifts that you have? What's in the hand of Barbie's Grove Baptist Church that the Lord can use? And accomplish great things for his kingdom. I want to share a couple of stories that are very true. I may have shared them before, but I think it's been a significant amount of time and they'll bear repeating. Our daughter Sarah, as you know, is a missionary with her family in Australia. Sarah's a good sing. She's great with crafts, decorations. She can even preach if you called on her to preach. There's a lot of things that Sarah does and does well. And she uses all of those gifts for the Lord. Gift of hospitality, having Bible studies in her home and things like that. But Sarah also, well, there's an incident in her life that just tickles me every time I think about it. When Sarah was in the 8th grade up at New London School, she was in what they call then the gifted and talented class. And the teacher said, I want everybody in the class to have some unique experience that will enhance your learning, and allowed the students to choose. And Sarah and her girlfriend in the class chose to go over to Stanley Community College and take a course in sign language. And so they went over to Stanley Community College so many nights for a term and took sign language, and they had great fun signing to each other until Sarah went off to School of Science and Math. Fast forward a few years, and Sarah's going to school at Oral Roberts University. And because that was a Christian school and still is, they had all kinds of seminars and conferences, and people flew in from all over the world. And so Sarah, in order to pick up extra money, she and other students were hired to take a school van, drive to the airport, and pick up incoming guests for these seminars and conferences. And it so happened that the Lord arranged one time that Sarah was the person that went to the airport. She gets there and she's got her sign that says people for the ORU conference. And one of the airline employees comes up to her, brings a man with him and says, I am so glad you're here, said this man is both blind and deaf. And somebody was supposed to meet him from ORU or somebody, and they didn't show. Here, he's yours. And there Sarah is confronted with a man who's blind and deaf. And the Lord reminds her of her sign language. And she takes his hand and she begins to sign in his hand. Now, I don't understand how she did it, but as she began to make certain signs in his hand, he understood and he would take her hand and sign back. So she took him back to the campus, got him situated in his room, stayed with him that night at the banquet that they had, and explained everything to him through the signing in his hand. Got him to his room, and then she went back to the dorm to study and sleep. At some point in the middle of the night, somebody goes to banging on her door and saying, we need you, we need you. Well, you see, nobody had told this blind and deaf man that he was to have a roommate. And so when somebody came in his room in the middle of the night, he thought that they were coming in to do him harm, and he went ballistic. And they were saying, where's that girl that knows sign? Where's that girl that knows sign language? And they tracked Sarah down, and she was able to get to the man, explain what was going on, calm him down, put him at peace. The next morning, whoever was supposed to look after him showed up, and so Sarah was relieved of her duties. But what was in her hand? Something that she learned for fun in the eighth grade. And it was a witness, a blessing, something used of God. I ask you, what is in your hand that the Lord could use? What is he asking you to let him use? The other story is this. A man named Henry Blackaby had some tremendous experiences ministering in Canada. Wrote a series of studies called Experiencing God. Many churches took those. Great, great idea. Find where God is working and get involved in what God's doing. And on one of the tapes that I heard Henry Blackaby teach, he talked about receiving a phone call from a little church up in the Northwest, Oregon, I think in Washington State, but Oregon or Washington State. The pastor said, Brother Blackaby, I understand the concept, but our church is small. We average about 50. We've only got $57 in the bank. What in the world can we do? How can the Lord use us? And you know, he and Henry batted some ideas around, and finally the pastor said, there is in our community a new group of people that have immigrated here from Russia. They're brand new residents, and I guess our church could minister to them. And so that's decided what they were going to do. And so that church began to minister to those Russian immigrants. A few weeks later, one of those Russian families said, listen, you folks have been so nice to us, we're going to give you the deed to our house in Russia. And the pastor thought, what do we need with a deed to a house in Russia? We've got no need for that, but graciously accepted. Not many weeks passed, and The church was contacted by a family that says, God has called us to the mission field. And we're out contacting churches, asking them to support us. Well, the pastor said, you know, we don't have any money to give you. Remember, they just had $57 in the bank. By the way, where are you going? And they named off the exact village in Russia where the church had the deed to the house. And they said to this couple, we don't have any money, but would you like to have a house? And so they took the deed to the house, moved to Russia. When they got to this city, it was a city that had been under German occupation during World War II, and Americans had been the first ones to liberate it. American GIs had liberated that city from German occupation. As a result, this city wanted to say thank you to some Americans. They had been waiting since World War II to say thank you. And these missionaries were the first Americans that had showed up in their city in all that length of time. They treated them like royalty. Gave them the key to the city. Let them go on TV. Go into the schools. Share their faith. Share their salvation. Talk about Jesus. It was a tremendous opportunity to reach people for Jesus. That God opened the door. But the story doesn't end there. At some point, the missionaries let the little church up in the Northwest know there's a hospital here, but it has almost no equipment, and what it has is just pitiful. Well, lo and behold, somebody in the little church knew of a hospital down in Texas that was totally redoing. New beds, new x-ray machinery, new MRI machinery, everything that was available. They were getting rid of all of their old equipment. It was still very good. It was just not this year's model. And the hospital gave all of that stuff to the little church. Somebody in the little church was connected with an airline, and the airline donated the use of a cargo jet to fly all of that stuff to Russia. Didn't cost the church a dime. They just had the right connections. Well, of course, you know, when the missionaries were suddenly able to donate all of this fantastic equipment to the hospital, that increased their favor in the community. Before the year was out, a second load of hospital equipment was shipped to this town or city in Russia. At the end of the year, the pastor was talking with Henry Blackaby, and he says, well, said, this is what has happened when we began to minister to this Russian community. We still have 50 people in church, and we're down to $55 in the treasury. But oh, what God had done with the church that was able to say, what's in our hand is yours, Lord. Now you as an individual can live with the don't have, can't do disease, or you as an individual and we as a church can say, Lord, what's in our hand you can have to use for your glory. Amen. And as we seek to know and to follow, you know, we have to listen to the Lord so that he points out to us what we have that we can use. But once we listen and once we allow him to do it, once we're obedient, God can do amazing, extraordinary things with an individual or a church that said, Lord, what I have is yours. You remember Paul writes to those Corinthians, he says, not many mighty, not many noble, not many this, that, and the other, but says, look what God did with them. You see, it's not a matter of what we have or don't have. It's a matter of what we have being used of the Lord. This morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. That's what you need to do. You need to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Father, I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose again. I confess Him with my mouth as my personal Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that, you'll be saved. And I pray that if you do that, you'll call me, tell me. Father, and then let me say to others of you, is there something special? It doesn't have to be. It could be money, but it doesn't have to be money. Some ability. And it may be a one-time usage, like Sarah doing the sign language with the man who was deaf and dumb, blind. Or it may be something that's a continuing thing. But do you have, what do you have that the Lord can use? And even though this is a weird, strange year, I believe that God has some amazing things He's going to do through Barbies Grove Baptist Church as we surrender totally, completely, and say, Lord, whatever we have, whatever we can do, whatever connections, whatever abilities, whatever spiritual gifts, Lord, just show us how to use them. Father, as we bow before You this morning, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for the Holy Spirit is using the words that have been shared in the Scriptures to speak to hearts. Father, help us to be aware of our personal and church answer to the question, what's in our hand? May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.